Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that everyone is doing okay on this great Sunday. I pray that everyone had a great Sunday, Easter last weekend. I know, you know, it's still a little unorthodox not being able to go to church and put on your finest blazer, you know, for that Sunday service. But we watched it virtually at my house, my family and I. We had a very, very good time. You guys, the coronavirus numbers are on the rise again, and we're seeing that happen all over the state. So if you will, let's continue to wear our mask. Let's continue to socially distance. Let's continue to use hand sanitizer and wash your hands often. And certainly, please get vaccinated. Today, we're going to have a good conversation. I got two men on with me today that I have the utmost respect for. I consider both of them mentors, and I can go to them and talk to them and talk with them when I have issues that I'm trying to work through. They've both always given me sound advice. And certainly their reputation and who they are and their body of work that has been rolled out over the years, and not just a historic body, but what they're currently doing, what they're still doing, is extremely amazing. And I'm glad to have them with us here today. So I'm glad to have with me today Minister Edward DuBose. How you doing, Minister DuBose?
I'm blessed and highly favored, Heather. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for joining us, Minister DuBose. And we also have with us Pastor Curtis Crocker from Metropolitan Missionary Baptist Church. Right, Pastor Crocker?
Yeah, indeed. Thank you once again, Teddy. You know, I love our conversations, and I appreciate you and all that you do. So thank you once again for allowing myself and Ed to be here today.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm glad that you two are here, because today we get an opportunity to talk about one of the oldest and one of the boldest organizations here in this country that has been at the forefront of change on so many different levels, even historically, if you look at it from a court perspective and some of the major changes that we've seen in our country. And things that have changed here in America was because the NAACP had their hand on the wheel, making it happen, being there at the forefront with lawyers, with community activists, with community educators, with engagement with churches and organizations and unions, just making it happen. So I'm glad to have you two here representing the NAACP. Pastor Crocker, let's talk about this membership drive that we have going on right now.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you so much for that. Yes, the Columbus branch NAACP is in the middle of the membership drive. It's a campaign that is being put on by the Columbus branch NAACP from April the 1st to April the 30th. And what we're trying to do is, of course, get more memberships here in Columbus, Georgia. I'm a firm believer that that all of our voices need to be heard. And for that, what a better way to do that is to join an organization, the NAACP. As you mentioned earlier, not only the oldest, but the boldest. And it's incumbent upon us, I believe, that we all stand up, especially within these times, to become a voice. We're pushing to increase membership, and we need everyone to be a part of it. So to become a part of it is very simple. We've got a couple things that are going on. Number one, you can go to www.naacpcolumbus.com. There's only two steps to join. Go to that to our webpage and join and become a member for just $30. Just $30, and I'm not pushing the money. What I am pushing is that you become a part of an organization that have been out here for years. If you're not internet savvy, you can go to Friendship Baptist Church at 831 6th Avenue, Columbus, Georgia. The pastor's Emmett Anaton, Reverend Dr. Emmett Anaton, between the hours of 10 and 2, and you can complete the paper application. But the objective, once again, is to be get all of you, Columbus included, in being a part of the Columbus branch NAACP. So this is the month that I think that we can get it done. I know that we can because we have done it before. And even in this pandemic, especially with the state in the condition that it is, and now with voter suppression and all of that, this is a perfect opportunity for your voice to be heard when we need all of you as we work together to overcome these obstacles.
Absolutely, Pastor Crock. I 100% agree with you. You know, if there's an organization that anyone is thinking about, you know, contributing to financially and becoming an active member, I cannot think of one better than the NAACP. You know, the diversity of the organization, the rich history of which it was founded, and the fact that over the years, the organization has never failed to waver away from its founding principles and the things that it found to be extremely important, all the way back to the engagement of Thurgood Marshall and so many great people. Congressman Bishop found his way to Columbus, Georgia, working with the NAACP. You know, we've just been fortunate in so many ways to have so many great people that have engaged. And, you know, and as one of the younger leaders, I don't consider myself a young professional anymore, way beyond that age. But as one of the younger leaders here in our community, I'm honored, Pastor Crocker, to have a Silver Life membership with the NAACP. And I encourage other young people to engage in the same thing because it's that important. Now, when we talk about engagement with the NAACP, all of us take back seat to the man that we have on the phone with us today, Minister Ed DuBose, and his rich history of working with the NAACP, from serving as the state president to being on the national board for so many years and still a member on the national board. Minister DuBose, I want you to talk to us about what the NAACP mean to you and your engagement. Before you get to that, though, I have to acknowledge that we are so honored, sir, to have you with us and to witness your blessing that God brought you through with your challenge and your fight with that old ugly virus, sir. But God said, we are not done with Minister DuBose. We still got some work for him to do in Columbus, in Georgia, and in the United States of America. And he is not going anywhere. We need him right here on the ground with that solid voice, with that unshakable voice, with that brave voice. I've seen you stand up to city council and deliver messages that you know some of the people that you closely associated with would be feel some kind of way about. But for you, Minister DuBose, from what I've witnessed, it's never been about friendships or anything else when it comes to doing right, because right is right and wrong is wrong. And sir, I idolize you. I appreciate you. You are the example that many of us young leaders try to stand up to be. And I just had to get that in on the air because it needs to be publicly said, because you are one of those heroes that don't look for the pat on the back or the spotlight in the room. You just want to get the work done. And we thank you for that, sir.
I appreciate that, Ted. And let me also thank Dr. Crocker for his leadership here on the local level. We, you know, when we talk about membership, we definitely don't just talk about it because of the dollars. You know, right now, when you talk about membership and the NAACP membership in numbers, we see why we need the NAACP because of this ugly voting rights law. We see why we need the NAACP because of people like Ahmaud Arbery, people like Breonna Taylor, people like George Floyd. And so when people ask, why do you need the NAACP? We need it because freedom is not free.
That's right.
And it will never go on sale. And so I think, Teddy, serving on the national board, where we have made a commitment to not only fighting for the rights of all people, but we have made a commitment to economic development. The national board has joined in with the fight for higher wages for workers, $15 an hour. The national NAACP has joined in with the new job, the green job that we're trying to push across the country. And the NAACP has joined in with the fight in Georgia. Georgia has now become ground zero for this fight against this Jim Crow 2.0.
That's right.
Thankful to be a part of this call. I'm thankful for everyone that's listening. And I want to do a special shout out to you, Teddy, because knowledge is power. But if we don't have a vehicle to push that knowledge out, we we don't have anything, and all of your Sunday conversations have not been about just sitting around lounging on the couch, but they have all been faith in action.
Yes, sir, and thank you for that, and thank you to you and Ms. DuBose for being faithful listeners to the show, and sir, we try to have this show for the community so that people will be empowered, so that people will be educated, so that folks will have the foundation of what they need when they go out there and do the work that they do in the community. Now, you talked a little bit earlier about $15 an hour in the minimum wage fight that we currently have going on, and it's absolutely shameful, Minister DuBose, that some people are still having to work for $7 and some change. And if you look at the poverty level, you look at the poverty level here in our area, and you look at people working full time with a minimum wage job, it doesn't get them where they need to be. So the request is really to get people to a livable wage, to where they can live comfortably, to where they're not struggling paycheck to paycheck and can actually, you know, produce and have a quality of life for their families. What's so hard about that, Minister DuBose?
And you know what's even sadder about this whole picture? It is sad when people looking more forward to unemployment than they are to work. It's not because people are lazy. It's not because people don't want to work. It's sad to say that in some cases with the stimulus, the unemployment was paying people more than two or three jobs that they were trying to work, make ends meet, put food on the table for their families, pay gas for their car if they have one to get to work. And so we have to make human rights. That's what this is. It's a human right for a person to be able to make a livable wage. That's a human right for people to be able to be treated decently. And so I'm so glad that the NAACP is on the front line with other organizations for this fight for livable wages, that the NAACP is on the front line in this fight for economic development. We were even at the table when it was put in the bill for the tax for small businesses,
mm-hmm.
the loan for small businesses to be able to have a way out during the pandemic. So, you know, the NAACP, we talk about membership, going back to that, we talk about membership because the membership is just bringing us together as a collective body. But
that's
what
right.
we do as a collective body is we go organize and we fight on the battlefield.
Absolutely. And you know, Minister DuBose, what disturbs me so much about this minimum wage conversation, debate, it shouldn't even be a debate, should be common sense, is that people try to politicize it, you know, and it goes back historically to the times in which that Georgia boy, Newt Gingrich, was the Speaker of the House, and he painted this image of welfare moms as black women just sitting on the front porch smoking cigarettes waiting to get a check, when historically the largest recipient of government funds and government support has always been poor Caucasians, particularly in the West Virginia, Tennessee Valley Authority area, which is why FDR put so many programs in that area. They have always outpaced African Americans in the receipt of government assistance. But this is what politics do, and this is what happens when the general body is not educated on these falsehoods that they perpetuate in order to advance their political positions. And it's disturbing. Now, Pastor Crocker, I want to talk to you locally. Locally, we still have one of the highest unemployment rates this region of Georgia than any other region. And we've been in that position for many, many years, regardless of the fluff that we've heard in the State of the City addresses and many other addresses by other folks. And when you break that number down by race, black and brown people experience unemployment in this area that is absolutely unbelievable. As a matter of fact, it's distasteful that this is not at the forefront of somebody's conversation that's running for political office or holding political office. Will the NAACP have opportunities where they can try to promote jobs or job fairs or you know, or conversations for people that are finding themselves in economically tough positions?
Yes, indeed. Yes, and I'm glad you brought it up, because earlier you talked about the economy and the economic issues and advancing equal opportunity for our black and brown folks. And the NAACP, like Minister DeVos is saying, is standing there at the table when we talk about, let's say, for instance, when we're hiring people, we're not thinking about hiring anyone that is black or brown because of the fact that we have removed some of those that's the word I'm looking for. I'm sorry, I can't think of it right
some
now.
Some of the obstacles.
But some of the obstacles, absolutely, that we're facing. That is why we're at the table having these conversations. And the biggest thing I believe that's going to help us get past some of this is partnering with the different organizations, Black Voice Matters, with Fair Count, so that we can be a voice. And we're able to talk about the lack of jobs and the disproportionate high unemployment amongst our people. We can even throw the lack of affordable housing and all, and foreclosures, all of those things. And I believe that if with us, the NAACP, galvanizing people with strong minds that can help us fight these economic challenges, we would be able to create career advancement for some of the black and brown people. One of the things that I'm a big advocate for is entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of people out mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. young people who have ideas and that can start their own businesses, and we can be able and move into a position where we can hire our own. And that is why the membership is so important, because we're looking for individuals to be a part of the NAACP that can help bring about a systematic change in the process. We were talking about earlier some of the challenges that NAACP is facing, although we are a diverse group, but it appears as if the black and the brown communities are suffering the most. So when it comes to NAACP's and NAACP and their economic programs, we have to make sure that our elected officials, like you mentioned earlier, this should be the forefront of the conversation, how we're going to help the community, our communities, grow. If we want to see the crime go down, or the black-on-black crimes, or the brown-on-black and brown-on-brown crimes, or even black-on-white, brown-on-white, whatever, white-on-white, if we want to see that change, then let's look at the economic challenges that we have here in Columbus, Georgia. How can we create the jobs? How can we sit at the table and make sure that we continue to provide a diverse community, a diverse dialogue when we're talking about building these initiatives? So I believe it's a systematic problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And there's several things that we're going to have to take a look at in order to begin to resolve that. You know, you have the job issue, then you have the condition of the neighborhoods, and then you have the neglect of many neighborhoods. And it hurts my heart so much, because you look at, you have retired individuals from the military, high ranking individuals, retired police officers, retired teachers, retired, staff members from the school, janitorial members, you know, cafeteria workers, school bus drivers, people who have worked a very hard life and made it and paid their stuff off, but yet we leave them in those type of conditions. That disturb me. But your entrepreneurship conversation is extremely important too. It reminds me of Sherika Day's program, Kidpreneur, where she take the young kids and she work with them and teach them about being entrepreneurs. If Microsoft was founded in a garage, we can find a lot of stuff in garages here in Columbus, Georgia, if we give them the tools they need to be successful. And a lot of these challenges Minister DeBose and Pastor Crocker, that we face as a community, they didn't just start yesterday. You can go all the way back to the moment in which we were brought off of those ships when we were forced over here from Africa, the 200 plus years of slavery, and then stepping out of slavery and going into the period of sharecropping, where that system was designed so that the poor black people would never get ahead, because at every pay period, they were still ending up owing the master. So it was slavery through a underpaid system, kind of like right now, Minister DeBose, where we have people that are being forced to work and not being paid enough because our laws don't require companies to pay them enough. The same companies that have so many tax breaks that you have Fortune 500 companies paying zero in taxes. You know, these same companies that saying they can't pay people more. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then we move on over to the Jim Crow period, where we had systemic discrimination and racism, even against people that were brave enough, Minister DeBose, to leave our soil to go fight for this country on other foreign grounds. They could come back here. A GI Bill was available to them, and they couldn't even utilize it because no one was building brand new homes in African-American communities, which gave us the Carver Heights community here. So there's so many built-in institutionalized things, and we seeing the rebirth of that with these laws that are recently passed to chip away at people's access to the polls, people access
can I
to
ask
vote.
You a question, Teddy?
Go
can
ahead.
Ask you a question?
Go ahead.
And this is for all of us. This is something that, you know, please forgive me for cutting you off, but, you know, where and when do we redevelop the passion within our own communities to make sure that we take back what we have lost? You know, I believe that in this last political fight we had with whatever, with voting and getting everybody out to vote, yes, we've done that, but guess what? My question is, what is it going to take for us to put that same energy in rebuilding our own community?
You know,
what is it going to take? And I hope Columbus is hearing me when I say this.
And that's a good question.
We will fight for things that don't matter.
Absolutely.
But when are we going to get passionate about our children actually dying? And what are we going to do? We can't rely on the government to do something. The Bible even talks about how we waited for nation to come to save us, and they never showed up. Okay, so we've got to be able to recognize that we have the power within to redevelop our own communities and get our communities back on track. You know, I remember we had communities that operated in the village concept that helped all of us be successful. The passion to make sure that we were all safe and that we were educated, and we were trying to work. We had our issues, but, you know, at least the community stood together. I think we've lost.
I think we're going to have to become more unified, because you are exactly right.
Yes.
In Columbus right now, we have the power to elect any person in any position that we want. We have the power to elect an African American mayor. We have the power to, we already saw the power to elect an African American sheriff. Any position in this community, we need to have more African American judges
at large, city council,
on the council. We have enough power in this community that we don't have to settle for second class no more. We have not just the power in the vote, but if you understand the dollars, and we'll just use Georgia as an example, $95 billion of the money is coming from African Americans, but it's only turning around one time in our community before.
There you go.
We've got to begin to have the conversations about how do we empower our own community instead of waiting on the money to come to us. How do we empower our own communities to do those things? And those are conversations that we can have within the NAACP and other organizations. How do we empower even people like Teddy, who's on the air right now, that's giving a voice to all of us? How do we get all the way squared behind him and others that are our mouthpiece where we can't reach with the media? So we have the ability to do those things which we need to do. We can even stop gun violence in our community.
Yes, we can.
If we put our mind and resources together.
Yes, we can. And I think both of you said what needs to happen, and that is we need to have the conversations. We need to bridge that communication gap between our generations. Right now, we don't have much talking going on amongst our generations, and that's creating a barrier of unity and working together. And when we start those conversations, we just need some basic rules. One, let's respect each other. My opinion is going to be based upon my understanding and what my life has experienced. And your opinion is going to be based upon yours. But one thing you have to realize is that if you are my senior, we are in a new age, time, and period. We grew up in the midst of technology, you know, and you guys grew up during a period in which, you know, you had to heat up your food in the oven. There was no microwave, wasn't no cell phones. You know, you had to get to a payphone when you could. That's just how fast things are moving. And if we don't bridge that gap, we get left behind. So the NAACP certainly has a history of facilitating those conversations, of being engaged, of having the younger people out there on the line fighting. Thurgood Marshall wasn't an old man when he was fighting, when he was arguing Brown versus Board of Education. He wasn't an old man. Dr. Martin Luther King was in his 20s during the prime of his movement, but Dr. Martin Luther King also had advisors around him, Minister DeBose, who were seniors, who said, son, let us guide you. You have the energy. You have the passion. You have the ability to amass everybody. Let us guide you. And we don't see that no more. We rarely see it. I'm not going to say it's completely gone, because one person I have to give absolute credit to is Congressman Bishop. And that's because of my personal interaction with him and him being my mentor. I have to give him that credit. But we need to see more of that. And Minister DeBose, I guess I would like to hear from you. You know, 20 years ago when you was out there beating the pavement and you know, now you're a little bit more senior, you wiser. But when you were younger and less experienced, like a young guy like me, what was your thought frame? How did you pull that together?
I mean, it was important to try to recognize that, you know, I will when I first came into the organization. That was back when I had hair and I wasn't bald at the top and it wasn't gray. I had to really get the local leadership to understand, listen, you know, at that time I could say I was younger. And so, you know, we didn't, sometimes people don't allow the young people to come in. I did, you know, we need to hear the young voices. When I was, I remember they saying, you were in diapers when I was here. I just wanted to hear that. I just wanted to be at the table. To be able to join the conversation. So the short of it is, from branch president to state president to now in my fifth term on the national board, I have always fought for inclusion for the young people to be at
there you go.
Even now, as I sit on the national board, I give donations to the young people on the national board. I give donations to the state youth leadership, because we should not be afraid or threatened by the young people. There comes a point when we have to move to the side and become advisors and let the young people step out and lead.
There you go.
Wow.
Our chairperson, Rosalind Brock, used to have a saying, at one end they said, pass the torch, but she said, if they don't pass it, snatch it.
Snatch it. You know, that's one amazing lady. I love her. And Minister DeBose, you know, I just realized we running out of time, guys. You know, I should have known I could not get on the phone with Minister Ed DeBose and Pastor Curtis Crocker and not expect the conversation to just take off and be so amazing that I lose track of time. So I definitely got to have you two back, because I think that my listening base needs to hear the voices of your generation. They need to hear exactly what you said, Minister DeBose, about having the conversation, about embracing the younger conversation, about, the Honorable Rosalind Brock's recommendations and things of that nature. We got to talk about that. That cannot be a taboo conversation in our community. So you two, please promise me right now on the air and promise everybody that you're going to come back and join me again in the near future.
I will say that I will promise, but I want to say please go to
www.naacpcolumbus.com,
and I want to send a shout out to our President Wayne Head.
There you go. Yeah. And let's continue to support Wayne in this endeavor. And that's what we're here to do, to help keep his arms raised and have him to be that voice for black and brown in Columbus, Georgia, and we can get it done. We just have to support one another. And you hit a main word in your conversation. Aretha Franklin said, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect one another as we continue to grow and strive for greater heights. Because all together, we can do this thing. We can accomplish any goals that we can set our hearts and minds to do.
Absolutely.
And Daddy Brown said, I don't want anybody to give me anything. Just open the door.
Let me get it myself. There you go.
Speaking of Wayne Hills, I feel like we're taking a stroll down memory lane with Wayne on the weekend with those songs that we play, because you two are speaking truth now through music. Yeah. You're speaking truth through music. Well, gentlemen, thank you again so much. It's been an honor to be on with you, and I just cannot voice or articulate the amount of respect that I have for both of you. And I want to thank you again, and I look forward to having you back soon, okay?
Oh, yes, indeed. We look forward to the next time, man. We really do. Can I say this?
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to be the voice, but listen, membership matters, Columbus, and our voices matter also. We need your voice. Come and join NAACP Columbus, Georgia. Thank you so much.
All right, that's been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and you've heard it directly from some of our leadership right here in Columbus, Georgia. The NAACP is asking you to come and join. They need your presence. We need your presence. We need your engagement. We need your involvement more than ever before during this time here in the state of Georgia and here locally. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Again, I want to thank Minister Ed DuBose and Pastor Curtis Crocker. Take care.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.